than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. The new NFL season has officially begun. Lots of news happening this past week. Free agency has completely opened up. The Ravens making moves. To talk me all through it, tell me what's going on. Joining me as always, Josh. What's going on, man?
What's up, my man? Did you shovel out of this weight stuff that we apparently got? I thought it was over.
Yeah, it's been an icy day, and I'll let you know, I made some chili in a crock pot, and I haven't gotten off my couch since. I binge-watched House of Cards the last season.
Love that show.
Yeah, and I figured, you know, if it's going to be ice or whatever, I'm just leaving it there, let the sun do its job eventually, and the sun can be my shovel.
There you go, man. I had a busy day. Unlike you had a lazy day, I shoveled, went to my part-time job, but overall, I had a good day, man, and hopefully get back at it tomorrow. But I'm glad you're all right. Glad you had a great day. But House of Cards, great show. And speaking of great showing, how about the Ravens last week, man? We were busy.
Ravens were very busy. Unfortunately, there were some people that are no longer donning a Ravens uniform. But let's start off with the good stuff. Let's talk about Brandon Williams, officially a Raven for the next 5 years. Big Baby is staying in Baltimore, and I'm really happy about that signing. I like Brandon Williams a lot. I thought it was very interesting as all of these free agents were coming and going. You didn't really hear anything about Brandon Williams. Everything was very quiet, which I thought was a very good sign for the Ravens. But what do you think about the Ravens signing Brandon Williams to a 5-year deal? He is now the second highest paid player behind Joe Flacco. What's your thoughts on it?
Thoughts are great, man. What a run stopper. We needed that in the defense because it solidifies what we really needed, I think, up front. If we let him go, there would have been a big, big gap. And you know, literally and figuratively, because he is a large dude, but he takes up a lot of space on the line. It would have been really tough to replace him, man. On $54 million contract says it all. There's a lot of pundits out there that they were critiquing this one that they thought they overpaid, but hey, the Ravens aren't playing around. They're opening up their checkbooks. They're getting it done on the end of the free agency where they let him go. I mean, Ryan Wagner signed a high deal. They let him go on the offensive line. And we'll cover that as well in the other ones. But just focusing on Brandon for a minute, man, I couldn't be more elated with him retained for Baltimore Ravens. He can end his career here, which is great, man. We take care of our own when we need to. And we're just winners all around on this one.
You know, I'm so happy to have Brandon Williams back with this team for 5 more years. Not only is he great at his position, he brings plenty of leadership to the defensive line. Of course, you do have Weddle and Terrell Suggs both on defense. But Brandon Williams is right there. He's a guy who can step up and really take leadership of that defense once Weddle and Suggs are gone. So I'm very happy with this signing. You guys heard me at the end of last season. I did not think the Ravens were going to re-sign him due to the fact that I didn't think they could afford him. But obviously, a couple other people were let go to make room for Brandon Williams' salary. But couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. I mean, he's got such a great story. If you listen to the Ravens podcast, their podcast, they interview him. Just watch his press conference that was earlier this week, thanking his mom, thanking his fiance, thanking CB. I mean, just a great thing. The guy was cleaning out porta potties in college, and now, you know, he's the highest paid nose tackle in the league. So, really good guy. Happy that he's a Raven. I'm ecstatic that they kept him here. Check out his little news conference, because really it really opens your eyes up to just what a humble, good guy he is.
Yeah, man, it was great. I had a chance to watch it, and it was a very emotional, heartfelt story. You're right, man. You know, you see these stories all across the NFL, all across the league, but, you know, it's great when they're one of our own, because we can really hone in on that, and we really know what he's all about. Very humble guy, and very likable. A lot of fans were clamoring, you know, for him to be re-signed, and he is a fan favorite. I mean, how many times I've seen his little dance? I mean, I'm sure you did the dance. Did you do the dance when he got signed?
Oh, absolutely, I did.
Oh, man. It's joking that it's kind of like the second dance. Someone can replace Ray's dance, obviously, on the defense, but the Brandon Williams dance is pretty fun to watch and in its own right. And, I mean, I heard he can belt out some tunes. He's a singer. You know, he was, you know, with the events we have at the stadium, he's mixing that up with fans and singing. And it's pretty awesome now. Fans are really excited to have him back. We're excited to have him back on the defense as far as the team's concerned because of his play. But just a great locker room, great stand-up guy, spirit. Again, I'm overall overjoyed on this one, man. I couldn't be more happy with getting this deal done with Brandon. And, you know, he's going to be a Raven for 5 years, man. And I couldn't say more about him other than a lot of great things. And I'm happy that he's not wearing another color, because there were some revolving doors this week, people coming in, people going out, and it's been a busy week.
Yeah, and I love the fact that he said in his little news conference, "I couldn't see myself in any other color but purple. I didn't even clean out my locker." And then
I find that funny.
Ozzy's just like, "Oh man, I wish I would have known that before I did this contract, because if I knew you weren't leaving, maybe we didn't have to spend all this money." But you know, he's a good dude, and seems like he's building his family in Baltimore. And you love to see guys that kind of stick around once the season ends in Baltimore. So really great to have Brandon Williams be a part of this team. Very happy about that. So let's talk about some of the guys that left, though. You know, before free agency started, we got a text message alert. Sharice Wright and Kendrick Lewis were both released. Not surprised this happened. You said in the Facebook Live video, you never want to see somebody lose a job. That's really hard on people and a family. But Sharice Wright and Kendrick Lewis definitely did not have the greatest seasons last year. We complained about it throughout the whole season. You know, if Jimmy Smith's not out there and Sharice Wright's your number one guy, you're probably going to lose. So I was not surprised by these two guys getting let go.
Oh, not at all, man. I mean, Bisciotti hinted at the fact that Sharice Wright's days were numbered here. He wasn't part of the New Year plans. These guys, they were underperforming from the start. You got to cut the dead weight in free agency. You don't want to be happy that people are jobless, because, again, you know, these guys are their careers, their jobs. But for the team's sake, dude, I couldn't be more happy with these releases, because they weren't producing, man. How many times did we have to complain? Oh, Sharice Wright's in there, and I know he's not on the team, you know, in the last few years. But another name was brought up was Rashad Melvin. He was the corner that was in the divisional round in the Patriots game, and I remember Tom Brady throwing to his side of the field the whole time. You know, when our players are underperforming, other teams exploit that, and it's just, you can't have them on the field. You're a liability. You need assets out there to win football games, not liabilities, and it was a huge one. Sorry to see him go, but I do have an interesting story about Sharice Wright.
Oh, let's hear it.
Yeah, man. It's kind of funny. How it's bittersweet and ironic, but as my profession, you know, I won't share too many details due to privacy of my profession, but we book credit cards for small businesses, and actually a lot of athletes do call in. We've helped some MLB players, some NFL players. One of our businesses was actually Sharice Wright. I don't know what side business he has, but we apparently booked his credit card. And it was kind of funny, because everybody knows me as a huge Ravens fan, and they're like, hey, do you guys know this right guy from the Ravens? I was like, yeah, Sharice, right? And he goes, yeah, we're booking his business. So apparently, you know, we booked his business, which was awesome. So, I mean, we and then I hear a lot of stories, too. When Hello DiDonato was in town, my previous employer at a bank, he used to come in to the Emmons Mills branch out there near training camp and the castle and come in there all the time. And I hear stories about, like, Joe Flacco coming into places. Like, I've seen Joe Flacco and Dennis Pitt at Chipotle before. So, I mean, it's happened. These guys are normal guys, and they do it. But it's just cool how, you know, that was a part of the ironic folklore of Sharice Wright as we're talking about him on this show. But, yeah, it's just, again, man, cutting the dead weight, you got to do it. It's the business of the NFL.
Absolutely. So now let me ask you, we're kind of like jumping ahead a little bit here, but with Sharice Wright being let go, Kendrick Lewis being let go, we brought in Tony Jefferson. He's a safety as well, and we're going to talk about him a little bit. But let me ask you, with the safety spot being filled up and Sharice Wright being let go, is that kind of the Ravens showing their hand that maybe that's what they're looking for in the draft, somebody that would be able to back up Jimmy Smith and take Sharice Wright's place?
Probably. I think we're going for pass rusher, mainly because Dumervil got let go with the unexpected retirement of Zach Gore. I think, and myself is with his last year, Mosley's there left. We got to get pass rusher. We got to get younger and fresher on the defensive end front. Defensive end pass rusher, I think we're just going to go after. Not to say corner's not there, Brandon, but we got them. And speaking of corner, as he said, we're not done in free agency, and we might be looking at Morse Claiborne. I've actually heard that he's supposed to take our offer. That's the reports, whether that's going to be happening or not. But I would be ecstatic to have – just think about the secondary. If we get Claiborne, Smith, healthy, Claiborne, Jefferson, Weddle, we have Brandon up front, Mosley in the middle. Dude, this defense is going to be just – it's just very, very solid. But I actually am going to shy away from corner in the first round. I think we're going to get defensive end.
Oh, really? Okay.
Or defensive end or linebacker, maybe.
Interesting. All right. Well, so we'll see that early on in the next couple of weeks. Well, maybe.
You know how it goes. It's the right player, right place, best player available, as Ozzie always says. I mean, if a receiver's there, take a receiver. It is what it is. I mean, who knows what the first 15 will look like when it gets to 16? Who knows if a trade comes across and somebody wants our pick? It's all going to pan out at the end of next month. I really can't wait to see how it unfolds. It's one of my favorite things to review and look at and just watch it all unfold, man. And it's right up the road in Philly. So I can't really wait to be really covering this one.
Absolutely. So other Ravens that will be hitting the road this year, like you said, Elvis Dumervil, he was released. He put out a nice tweet to Baltimore and the team and everything, saying his time was good here in Baltimore. Obviously, if you watched last year, he did not have a great year. He sat out the majority of the year. Obviously, you know, it's not really the way he would like to have ended his career, but I don't think anyone is picking him up. I think he's pretty much done. And Lardarius Webb, you know, he's a guy whose jersey I owned at one point. He's also no longer a Raven, and he potentially could go to a different team or retire. I'm sad to see Webby go and Doom go, but Lardarius Webb hasn't been the same since that Super Bowl year. I mean, he's kind of had a lot of injuries, been injury prone, so I understand the reasoning for letting him go, but sad to see Doom and Webb go. These guys had a lot of history with Baltimore, and both were able to cement their names as two solid players.
Yeah, man. It's just, it's again, nature of the business, nature of the beast in NFL. Two great guys. You know, Dumervil, he actually, it's like I've always said before, it was that number 58, man. He had a great year like Bulware and set the single-season sack record. Just sucks that we didn't get a title, as he said in his statement. Very great statement. Even Webb, I mean, I'm curious to see where Webb ends up, but I don't know if he's going to host his annual softball. He does that charity softball event, which was a great draw. So, I mean, I don't know if that's going to still be going around. Who knows? I'd like to see that, but Webb's statement was great. You really hate to see these guys go. I thought Webb was going to be a Raven for life, to be honest with you, man, even if he takes a lesser deal. But it just wasn't panning out the knees, man. He got injured often. And when you're often injured like that, it's really hard to keep your pace of play. It's really hard to keep a team from retaining you. You know, you want to have that, but at the end of the day, your speculation about corner, I think we might, like I said, if we add Claiborne, we're fine. But you just got to go fresher and younger. Claiborne has his injury issues too, but you know, respectively to the Doomerville and Webb, Lake O's, couldn't have any classier guys on our team. They've always been an overall team player. I have an opportunity to meet them both. It was great. Had some interactions with them. So, again, I wish them both well. There's always speculation of where we could have these guys back at a lesser deal. Who knows? But at the time, and we're just not going to take the money, and we're going to be allocating it elsewhere. And I wish these guys the best.
Absolutely. So a couple guys that left the Ravens going around the league. Kyle Juszczyk, he is now a San Francisco 49er. Rick Wagner, now with Detroit. And Lawrence Guy, now with the Patriots. I'm really sad to see Kyle Juszczyk go. I really like the fullback position. You don't have a lot of fullbacks anymore in the league. So that kind of sucks to see him go to San Francisco. And the other two guys, you know, sucks to see them go as well. But obviously, if you keep Brandon Williams at that price tag, you can't keep any of these guys and re-sign them to bigger deals. So sad to see these guys go, but they're continuing their careers other places.
Yeah, man. I mean, you got, you know, Rick Wagner signing up there. You got Lawrence Guy. You got Juszczyk. I wish these guys the best. I mean, Torrey Smith was almost back here, and he went up the road in Philly for a three-year deal. That was surprising. I thought for sure he would come back to Baltimore. But I wish him the best as well. Another name out there, Anquan Boldin's been thrown in the mix. Actually, he's not been linked to Baltimore per reports, but there's very hard speculation that he's always said he wanted to retire as a Raven. I still think we did him dirty with not offering the $8 million that it was owed. After Super Bowl, and we just jettisoned him now off. But Boldin could be back for another year. He's 36, but he's producing. I think I'm still at a level to produce, and he's the kind of receiver that the Ravens would like. I mean, we already got Wallace at 30 with the speed. Perryman is so young and upcoming. To Pitta, man, we got Pitta back at a lesser. And that's what shows you. I'm going to touch on that, man. And I'm going to definitely we're going to talk about Woodhead and Jefferson at the end because those are our marquee guys, and I have some input on both. But just think about it. Pitt, I mean, these guys, some of them go get paid. You look at the deals. Juszczyk got paid, I think, well overpaid for what he did. He got paid for what he did last year. The reason why he was successful was check down Charlie's offense. It's, you know, the Ravens didn't have a deep threat or really couldn't get the ball going, so they would throw to Juszczyk a lot. He had, I think, the record in receptions for a fullback. He made a Pro Bowl, and he got paid. He got paid for a one-year wonder, and good for him. You know, these guys are in the league for really, they say the league average is 3 to 5 years if you take an average NFL player, depending on their careers. I mean, Ray Lewis played 17 years as a linebacker, and I think that was a long time for a linebacker. Quarterbacks play 15 to 20 years. I mean, you see it where running backs play 5 to 7 and they're gone. I mean, if you enter the league in your early 20s by 30 for running back, you're pretty much retired. Like, you're done. You know, as you see here with Jamal Charles being off injured and he's still on the market. It's the lesser money I want to hone in on. Tony Jefferson took less money to come to Baltimore instead of the Browns. The Browns could have offered him more. Pitta restructured to take less money to stay here. Yeah, he could have probably been released and maybe gotten a slight higher pay increase elsewhere for his services, but he chose to stay here. He's one of Flacco's trusted and favorite targets. So that says a lot about our organization. Weddle even said that. He took less money to come to Baltimore a few years back and being a Raven. So it's just very proud to hear about that. And with Jefferson and Woodhead and their presser saying about the first class franchise, they're winning culture, they're a contender. I'm very proud of that. You know, yeah, there's going to be dark days, Brandon. We're going to probably be like 2-14, and we got to cover the team. We're going to go, oh my holy moly, what is going on here? But again, this is a winning first class franchise. We draft well, we run the thing well. Danny Woodhead said a lot about the castle where he was like, dude, this is state air for so damn, never seen nothing like it. He was blown away. We impress players when they come here, and this is the reason why they come here. They see the facility, they see the team, they have Harbaugh, they have Ozzie, they have Bisciotti, and they go, wow, these guys do it right. I mean, you see the trophies, you have the Ray Lewis stats, you see the stadium, we're doing upgrades, we got grass. There's a lot of things here that people, you know, players come here and take less money, which I get excited and passionate about. And I don't know if you noticed that lately, but it's been happening year in and year out. But, yeah, again, these guys get paid. I mean, Lawrence Guy, great to him. You know, Rick Wagner is the highest paid tackle. I mean, these guys are going to get paid, and that's the beauty about the NFL. It's a love-hate with the cap. You know, we can't retain everybody because that means pretty much all the good teams would win and all the bad teams would lose, and it just would be the way it is. But this is how it is, and I'm very excited to see what can come. But right now I'm so proud of the additions we have, and I'm sorry for the losses that we had. But as often as that happens, how many times have we seen a lineman go, Brandon, out there and make a money? You know, Ben Grubbs, pro bowler, goes, gets paid, don't hear from him. You know, Calicio Smelly, maybe the exception. He's still playing solid. Won a Super Bowl here. You know, we drafted him, gone. Cordy Upshaw played in the Super Bowl with the Falcons. They retained him, but again, he won a Super Bowl here, played well, and got paid elsewhere. A lot of players get jettisoned. They get bigger money, but you don't really hear from them. They do well here on their rookie contract. You don't see it. So I'm very excited to see how it all pans out.
Yeah.
But I just want to get touch on that because I'm very passionate about it, as you can tell. It's just I get really excited about when people take less money to come here. It just makes me so proud, man. It makes me all feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Yeah, it definitely shows their love for the game and their love for the respect they have for the organization. It kind of shows that they know what they're getting themselves into. They'll take less money if they know they have a team that could potentially be a contender at the end of the year. So good for these guys for coming. Other Ravens that are sticking around for a little bit, Ryan Mallett, he's going to be the backup QB for another year. Anthony Levine is also sticking around. He's going to be a Raven. They both signed extensions.
I love that signing. Love that guy.
Yeah, he did great. He really showed off in the preseason last year, and he continued doing really well throughout the regular season. So I'm very intrigued to see what he can do this year, and great for him to get re-signed. Very sad to see Kamar Aiken as an unrestricted free agent. He's not with the Ravens at this point. Who knows what will happen down the road? There's other teams that are interested in him. But he came out at the end of the year and said that, you know, he went up to the coaching staff of the Ravens and said, look, I want the ball. I want to play more. I want to do this. I want to do that. And they're like, okay, cool. We'll get it for you. And then nothing ever came of it. So obviously Kamar doesn't fit into the offense that Harbaugh and the Ravens want to build. So he's moving on. Matt Elam is an unrestricted free agent now, but he was a dumb and did some stupid things down in, I think he is in Florida? His home base, I think he's in Florida, but yeah, he got arrested, so the Ravens will not be re-signing him as well. And there's other unrestricted free agents that we might see on the practice squad later on. But let's get to the guys that we signed, brought in here. Tony Jefferson, Danny Woodhead. Now, obviously, in Ozzie we trust, but I think the next hashtag we got to bring up is in Weddle we trust, because this guy is a friggin' recruiter now.
Dude, isn't it awesome? I mean, he's just recruiting left and right. It's great when you have players reach out to other players, get them excited, but it's also to say, hey, listen, come play here. Hey, listen, we got something going on here. You know, you can be part of it. And it's always funny because it is a former Charger player, speaking of Weddle, but Weddle and Woodhead, respectively, but it's a culture. You know, Weddle's been here a few years. He's got a taste of it. He knows what it's about. He knows where we're headed, and he just openly recruits guys, which is great. I mean, I saw the piece that the Ravens.com brought out on him, and it's kind of funny how – but not only him, but you hear other players do it. I mean, I've heard Suggs reaching out to players before. Ray's done it before where he's like, dude, come play for us. And it's happened all across the board. So it's just really awesome to really see the players get excited when players come available and go, hey, listen, you know – and it takes the pressure off Ozzie. You know, they're always working in the background getting things done, but it makes their job easier when players are openly campaigning for these guys to come to Baltimore. And it's like, hey, guys, dirty work's done. And they go to Ozzie and say, hey, man, get it done to pay the guy. And they work out a deal, and it's all set. I want to get Jefferson last, but I want to touch on Woodhead. What are your thoughts? Because I'm going to put some input here. I'm very skeptical about this because of his knee injuries. That he has, and obviously he says, I mean, he's going to say it, you know, he swears he's going to play at a high level, even at a high level as he did before the injuries. But it's also another side of it, too, where because Dixon got in trouble the night before, and then all of a sudden we get, you know, we sign Woodhead, and all of a sudden Dixon gets to say, so you wonder if the Ravens knew it on the back end, they couldn't release it till a certain amount of time. But then he went inside Woodhead as a contingency. So I think you're going to see Woodhead's workload unfold in the first 4 weeks, maybe dissipate as Dixon gets back into the fold. But a buddy of mine, Corey, actually brought up, too, in discussions that the Ravens excel at third down checkdowns, obviously, and that's their thing. And Wood had excelled at that as a player in recent years in his career. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you kind of do you agree with some points there, or do you see where I'm headed in that direction, or are you baffled by this signing with Woodhead? Or because I didn't see this coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, I didn't see them going after a running back. I do like Danny Woodhead. I liked what he did when he was with the Patriots. However, just like you, I am very concerned about his health. He has had injured season, good season. Injured season, good season. I mean, it's been like a jump rope. Up, down, up, down, up, down. Hopefully we're in an up year this year coming up with Danny Woodhead. Because if he is healthy, he's a great running back. And I'm impressed with what he can do. But just like Breshad Perriman, I'm always going to be scared when I see him hit the ground. And I'm going to worry about how his knees are going to do. But you brought up Ken Dixon got in trouble. He's going to miss 4 games at the beginning of the year. And one of our listeners on Facebook said, do you think this was a reaction to the Ken Dixon injury? And I don't know, because there is Lorenzo Talaferro. If they were worried about 4 games, he could back up Terrence West. I think, personally, that this Woodhead signing is more of a sign that they don't have faith in Terrence West. Terrence West, he's been solid the last year. He came in overweight 2 years ago. He had something to prove with the Ravens, and Justin Forsett left last year, and Terrence West became the guy. I don't know if the Ravens were impressed with him last year and what he was able to do in his one season as a Raven. I don't know if he's going to be the starter come regular season time. We'll see what happens in the off season and in the practice. But I think this says more about their faith in Terrence West. I think you could see Terrence West leave and have Woodhead, Ken Dixon at the end of the next season.
I agree with that, because to me, I'm more of a Dixon fan. I wasn't really impressed with West. Had Dixon was more of a hard runner. Granted, he was a rookie last year, so you're going to get that hustle, you're going to get that drive, but he's not really making, Brandon Williams money, obviously, so he wants to get paid. So when these guys, and that's why I get excited about, when these guys are in year 1, year 2, year 3 on their rookie contracts, they're hustling. Not to say you're going to not hustle in year 4, 5, 6, and 7, but he's going for it, man. Terrence West has been in the league a few years, and I just don't like the runner. He's a good compliment, 1-2 punch, right? But I just don't really like the fact that he reminds me of the Ray Rice back. I mean, Ray Rice was successful here in the offense for years that he was here. But I long for the days. This is the AFC North, man. We're going against the likes of Isaiah Crowell and the Browns, Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers. Granted, Bengals have their own 1-2 punch in Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard. But I miss the days where Jamal Lewis, pound the rock, give Jamal the ball. I miss that, man. I would love to draft a back that is just a bruiser. I want a Marshawn Lynch. You just give the ball in the fourth quarter, and he wears you down. You can't tackle him, can't get away from him. It's just, I miss that. I'm tired of these little light backs where you can throw them in the backfield, like the Sproles and the LeSean McCoy. I want that bruiser back. This is the AFC North. This is Baltimore, Maryland, man. This is blue-collar, hard-nosed Ravens defense, nasty football. And I love it. Our weather is always crazy. We're crazy. It's just, I just love it, man. I just want to get back to that kind of atmosphere on the offense and ground and pound and throw the ball we need to, but just pound the rock. And I'm just old school, man. I'm old school. I want nasty defense and pound the football so you can't stop it and run the and chew the clock and throw efficiently when you need to, man. But I think West might be out of the picture and agreeing with you there. But it's interesting to see how Woodhead gets. That's why I want to see how training camp and preseason go and how his training is and how his stamina throughout the game, because he's going to get a workload in his first 4 games, man, without Dixon's absence.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I like Woodhead. My only worry about him is his health. I really think that if he can get himself healthy and get away from the injuries, he could be a solid running back for this team for the next couple of years. But if he can't stay healthy, that's no help to us. So we'll see how it goes. But right now I'm happy. So what about Tony Jefferson? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know a lot about this guy. What can you tell me and other Ravens fans that maybe don't know the Arizona Cardinals as well as we should?
Well, I have to give a shout to John Dugan. He gave me some insight. He called me right up You know our boy out in Arizona, right?
Right, yeah.
He actually said he was there for that Monday night Arizona game. Tony Jefferson, he said, actually got the interception that sealed the deal, unfortunately, for the Ravens' defeat and the Cardinals' victory. Tony Jefferson, I actually watched a few highlights. And see, when we get players that I kind of heard, I heard his name before, Brandon, but I don't know a lot about him. I watched his highlights on YouTube when we first signed him. The dude, he's awesome. I mean, he's not an Ed Reed physical type hitter, but dude, the guy can cover well. And my favorite thing is he plays the line of scrimmage. There's a lot of highlights where on blitzes, he gets close to the line and he would get the quarterback or he would get the running back as a tackle for a loss. And that's what we love. We love playmakers. He's a playmaker. He's 25 years old, so he's still young. He's fresh. He's big and physical. He's going to compliment. And he talked about that in his presser. Is he going to be free safety, strong safety? Him and Weddle had the opportunity to play both, but Weddle's that free safety. He's going to be the strong safety. Weddle's going to be that free safety, roaming the field, acting like that, the catcher in the backfield, you know, out there, like the Ed Reed, you know, making sure everything's good to go and back air ball. And we got Jefferson back there. It's going to be great, man. But, you know, he's not that Pollard. He's not that Reed. He's going to come in and hit you with a short. And not to say he's not physical. He is. But that's not what he's known for. He's known for solid coverages and well-timed on the line of scrimmage as far as blitzes. But the guy's great. And then he has his own story, too. I don't know if you saw his presser. Like Brandon Williams, he had an emotional story to share, too, in the presser. And it's awesome. Again, another story, if you haven't done it, it's on the Ravens site. For all who haven't seen it, you, Brandon, included. If you haven't, go see it. But, yeah, the guy's a beast. And I want to thank John Dugan for giving me a call. He wanted to definitely put some input because he's like, dude, he knew a lot about him being out in Arizona. He's like, he was elated. He called me. He was excited as I was. He's like, dude, this is an awesome signing for the Ravens, and I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm happy.
That's great. It sounds like it's a great addition to the Ravens defense. Seems like it's making Eric Weddle real happy since he's one of the recruiters for that guy. So obviously they have a good relationship. So that's awesome. So last guy I think we got to talk about, and you already brought him up a little bit, Mike Wallace. He got his second year option with the Ravens. They decided to bring him back. How do you feel about Mike Wallace being a Raven for another year? Because I'm going to be honest, I'm happy with it. It's okay. But if it was between Mike Wallace and Torrey Smith, I was kind of hoping Torrey Smith would come back.
I disagree with you there, bro. I think Torrey Smith, I mean, I was excited for the opportunity to have him back again, nostalgia-wise, but I think his better days are behind him. I think Mike Wallace still has something to prove. He's 30 years old. You've seen what he did against Pittsburgh. He has a blazing speed. He's very physical. You've seen the highlights. He's got big play, big making ability, physical. He fits that Raven mold. Not to say Torrey didn't, but I think those years in San Fran, he lost it. It was kind of like he had his good years here. He left, got paid, and he just had a bad situation out in San Francisco and didn't produce. You really didn't hear from him. I think Philly overpaid him for a three-year deal. Hey, it remains to be seen. What do I know? But I strongly am happy about Wallace being back as a Raven. Wallace would have been a Raven regardless if Torrey would have signed with us or not. It wouldn't have been one or the other because the Ravens were going to pick up his second option anyway. Torrey would have been because the Ravens were in discussion. It was us or Philly. It came down to him, and Philly took him away from us. So we would have had him in addition to Mike Wallace, but I'm just happy that we have Mike still. Torrey would have been an addition and compliment, but I'm just going to say it right now. I think his better days are behind him, and we shall see how it unfolds up in Philly.
All right, so now we have Rashad Perryman, Mike Wallace as our wide receivers. Steve Smith Sr. is retired. He's gone. Congrats to him on his NFL Network job. He's doing a really good job there being a commentator. He was cracking me up during the combine, so good for Steve Smith. Kamar Aiken, like we said, he is an unrestricted free agent. Potentially you could see him back in Baltimore, but doesn't look like it. So that means your third guy is Chris Moore with the Ravens, who I don't think he had that great of a season last year. What are we going to do? What are the Ravens going to do with their offense having two speedsters and Chris Moore and maybe some rookies coming up this year? Is that something that Raven fans should be concerned about? Is the wide receiver spot something that, you know, is a big question mark right now?
Well, I'm definitely concerned. You just said it right there. We have Mike Wallace, Rashad Perryman, and Chris Moore. definitely not happy about that. That's why I'm like, hey, why don't we get Bolden? I mean, we need all the help we can get because it's slim pickings. Whether we need to trade for a receiver, draft one, that's why I'm kind of like, if a receiver's there at 16 or if we can pull off a trade, do it. We need a receiver badly, but we know how we draft receivers around here. But I'm very concerned. We have the tight end help. We have Pitta. I mean, we have Crockett Gilmore. And we have a good stable of tight ends. But at the end of the day, if you have anybody catching the ball when Flacco's throwing it, our offense only goes so far. This is a big concern for me. I want to see how it pans out in the rest of free agency, the draft. We have a long way to go. We're in mid-March. A long way to go to August to September when we start playing some games. To see how it pans out, really, it's a big question mark. But it's a major concern on my behalf. Hope it is yours, and I'm pretty sure we can be echoing every other fan's reaction because I'm definitely very, very, very concerned at this point with our receivers.
Now, I just thought of this. Now, there's potential of Michael Capinero being a wide receiver, but he is, again, sort of injury-prone. We don't really know what to expect for him. What about Keenan Reynolds? He was a guy that came from Navy. They moved him over to wide receiver, didn't make the team. He impressed them on the practice squad. Could he potentially make the 53-man roster?
Man, now you're reaching, bro. You're reaching.
Dude's already got a car commercial locally around here. I mean, he's making some noise.
Man, sounds like an episode of Ballers. I don't know, man.
I just started watching that show, by the way, Ballers.
Dude, isn't it awesome?
I'm enjoying it. I'm on episode 3. I got a little ways to go. It's coming back in June, so
yeah,
I figured I would...
It starts July 23rd, if I believe it or not. I love that. It's awesome because you can get through those half-hour episodes really quick. You can watch a whole season, which is 10 episodes, in like an afternoon, which is great. Very well done. I mean, I love The Rock, but... Suggs is in season 2. I don't want to spoil it for you, but Suggs is in season 2, so keep it up.
And he's also, he filmed something in season 3. He was on set in the offseason this past year. So I think that's what kind of piqued my interest. I love The Rock. The Rock is, you know, he's one of the best guys in Hollywood right now. Just not even just acting wise, but he's just generally a good dude. So I like supporting him that way. And I'm like, all right, I'll give Ballers a shot. Because I watched the first episode when it came out a couple years ago, and I'm like, okay, this is Entourage, but with football players. And
it's pretty much what it is.
Yeah,
I stopped
watching it because I'm like, I'll just watch old Entourage episodes if I want to watch that. But now they're going into season 3. I'm kind of interested again. I'm a little football hungry, so I think I'm going to give it another shot. So I'm on episode 3 right now.
I'm happy you're riding it out because I would definitely keep up on you until you do. And I agree with you on that assessment. Like, you're watching, it's like, oh, it's a bunch of partying. You got your boys, got your... you know, hot cars and all that. You got your women, you got your, you know, you got your football players, you got it, but there's a story behind it. It tells his story, you know, The Rock's character story. And he gets really in depth where, you know, he's trying to be, and you see the opportunity there. I mean, he's trying to build his company up, sign on these players and, give it a chance. I'm happy you're busting through it because it really ramps up in season 2, man. Let me tell you, he really heats up. And you really see everything unfold, which is awesome.
Very cool. All right, so you're saying Keenan Reynolds, that's a stretch. We might not see
Yeah, it is. Yeah, from all that, yeah, it's a stretch. Love Ballers, but Keenan Reynolds, if it got lost in translation, guys, it's a stretch.
All right.
But I understand your enthusiasm because it's common, like, where do we go from here with the receivers? But I liked him in the special teams, and I wish they'd have kept him on there as a kid because, dude, Hester, that experiment last year, please. Come on. They should have kept Keenan Reynolds for the return gig, but that's hindsight. I think they need to do something there this year. I don't know who's going to take that slot.
We'll see. We'll see. All right, Josh. So let me ask you, do we cover everything?
Man, fun-filled show, free agency frenzy, Ravens Nation. We covered this. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
At ItalianGQ52.
All right, go over to facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there whenever a new show comes out. Whenever news breaks, you will be the first to know on our Facebook page. A lot of fans, a lot of listener interaction on Facebook. So I think we definitely have a good core audience there. You guys, you have any questions or comments or anything we post, you know, do not be shy. Let us know what you think. We absolutely love talking to the listeners out there on Facebook. So definitely let us know. All right, guys, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the call. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Bumble and Uber and Lyft and whatever other social media stuff's out there. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call. They're getting me ready for this upcoming season. You should listen to them, too. So that's pretty much it for this free agency show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. It's always fun to talk Ravens, man, and kind of really miss it, man. I'm happy that we're trying to ramp up these shows, and again, you know, I'm happy the Ravens were busy. Gave us a lot of good content, a lot of solid discussions. Always good to hear from you guys. I've been still, it's off season, but I've been communicating it. And you're right, the Facebook has been rocking. I'm very excited about that. Even on Twitter, man, I've been going back and forth with Rick Olson, man. He's been awesome. Give me some insight. I miss you guys. You know, I love it that we can keep this all year round. Just because the season stopped don't mean we stopped talking, man. I really love it that we have the open lines of communication. Social media is great for that platform. Always keep tweeting. It's great. I love the discussions. Always keep Facebooking. Always keep downloading. We love it that you're downloading and sharing the show. Me and Brandon are ecstatic. We wouldn't have done it without you. We've grown since the Super Bowl year in 2012. Here we're going on 2017, man. This is great. You just got a lot of good things in store this year, and I really can't wait to get it going and see what happens. So, yeah, we have April coming up here. It's going to get ramped up with the schedule and the draft. So we're definitely not done. It's just getting started with free agency, the new league year. Ravens, Nas even said it himself. We're not done in free agency. Can't wait to see what the new additions. I'm still waiting for that Claiborne signing, Brandon. We'll see how it comes along. Breaking news hopefully here soon. With that being said, into the offseason we go. Full steam ahead. Baltimore Ravens fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.